Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there's one body and one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each one does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Verses 1 through 16, Ephesians chapter 4. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the fact that you've called us together. You've called us out of the world and into a new relationship with you and one another. Thank you for the privilege of being your family that's called the church, the body of Christ. Thank you for recruiting us into your army, the army of God. And thank you for the privilege of being a part of you and a part of your kingdom. Father, fill us afresh with your Spirit. Stir us more and more to be faithfully living, passionately, running after you, hearing your word and living your word as a lifestyle for your glory and the building of your kingdom every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Mark Oss is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Lord God, thank you for this opportunity to serve you today. And God, thank you for this time that you've allowed us to live in history. It's an amazing time when things are changing quickly, and we see signs of the time. We anticipate that your Son may be with us again on earth soon. Even the stars are aligning, although that was not one of the signs that you've told us to look for, but it seems a strange coincidence. And Lord God, we are watchful. Help us to be ready when Jesus comes, and help us to tell as many about that imminent return as possible, and share the gospel, share your love as well as we can before that day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I want to continue to remind you that we continue our ongoing campaign with the wonderful national ministry Preborn as we partner with them here at American Family Radio to provide free ultrasounds for women who may be seriously considering an abortion. Remember, your gift of $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, giving the mom the opportunity to choose life for her baby. $140 provides 5 free ultrasound sessions, reaching 5 women with a message of life. Keep in mind, our goal is to provide 4,500 free ultrasounds through this campaign. And we're getting closer and closer, but we have a ways to go. If you haven't called in to make a pledge, please do. Help us to reach the goal of providing at least 4,500 free ultrasounds for women, encouraging them to choose life for their babies. To call in to make the pledge, call 1-877-616-2396. Again, that's 1-877-616-2396. Or you can go online to donate at afr.net. Again, that's afr.net. As we often do, we share articles or even portions of articles that our encouragement to you is that you would email us to get copies. These are tools to be discipleship tools to help strengthen you and encourage you in your own walk with the Lord, but also to encourage you in the work of being a disciple maker. Every believer is called to be a disciple and make disciples as well. And so if you'd like to get a copy of this, this article, simply email us. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. This article is entitled, The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Then Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom and whatever you get insight. Again, Proverbs 4, 1 to 7. And then Ephesians 6, 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Again, Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4. Parents carry their children in their hearts. Their children are very important to them and precious to them. As parents, we want the absolute best for all of our children in every area of life. A very important truth for all parents to be mindful of is the best that we can give to our children is Jesus. The greatest gift that they can ever receive in life is Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Jesus is eternal life. So as parents, we're very wise to do all we can to help and encourage our children to receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Once a child is saved, it's one of the great responsibilities of Christian parents to disciple them. It is our calling from the Lord to help and guide our children to become strong, vibrant believers who love and follow Jesus Christ in their life and lifestyle. Why is this so important? First of all, we're commanded to make disciples. See Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. And this very important calling is to start with ourselves and then move directly to our families, our spouses, and children. So in considering the great responsibility of discipling our children, just what are some steps or practical building blocks we are to utilize? What are things that we can do to effectively and practically carry out the important responsibility? Let's consider a few things a parent can do to help their children begin to grow up in the Lord. The following are some practical things, ideas, and suggestions Christian parents can do to help and encourage their children to come to know the Lord and to grow in their faith as well. Number one, pray daily with your children. Pray the Lord's Prayer with them and allow them to lead. Pray Psalm 91 daily with them. Allow them to hear you call their name in prayer daily. Give your children incentives to memorize and learn Bible-based prayers. Number two, have your child read no less than 3 chapters in the Word of God daily out loud to you. You can find shorter chapters, Psalms, or simply select a given passage for younger children. For children who do not yet know how to read, let them repeat short passages after you. Number three, some of those could be Psalm 1, Psalm 23, Psalm 100, etc. Number three, ask your child questions about what they've read. What are 2 or 3 important things he or she picked up? What stood out? Next, teach your children to obey the Word of God, to live the Word. Teach them to be doers of the Word of God and not hearers only, James 1:22. Next, teach your children the meaning of the 10 Commandments. Have them to memorize them. Teach them to pray the 10 Commandments every day for the church and our nation. Also, parents, it's very important for us to recognize this reality. Someone or something will disciple your child one way or another. In other words, certain people or things will capture your child's attention, interest, and or heart in this world. Some of these are celebrities, sports figures, television, the internet, things on his or her cell phone, video games, people they quote-unquote meet in chat rooms, etc. Some topics they come across on the internet may captivate them in their mind and interest. And yes, these things can begin to quote-unquote disciple your children in the wrong directions. Some of these things can begin to mold their thoughts and their thinking and their perspectives about life and the world in too many wrong and twisted ways. And too often the results can be tragic. Consider sad incidents that you hear of too often in the news. Some of these news stories that are tragic about young people include, 1, a teenage boy who was shot and killed by an individual as he tried to run away after stealing something in a store. 2, an elementary-age child attempting and sometimes succeeding in committing suicide. 3, young people committing suicide after being bullied online or in school. Next, 3 young girls went off into the woods and 2 of them tried to stab the 3rd one to death. The little girl survived, but where in the world do 3 little middle school girls get the idea of wanting to murder their peer? Next, a teen recently walked into his school and began shooting, murdering a number of his classmates. And tragically, we could go on and on with the news stories. Where do these children and youth get the ideas and thoughts to do such things? Too often, the devil, through the internet and social media, TV and movies, is discipling them in darkness. Too often, these young people are consuming darkness by the gallon. Some of these youths may attend church, but many of them, while they consume darkness and put so much negative info and ideas into their minds, may literally never or almost never even open a Bible and read it. Parents, without question, we have much work to do in discipling our own children, and we have much work to do through the church in reaching youth in our communities, yet greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We don't have to be fearful. We simply have to trust our Heavenly Father and diligently be about his business in doing the work of disciple-making. God can work through each of us as parents to help our children greatly grow up in the faith. Not only can we help them to avoid being victims in this wicked world, but we can help them to become kingdom warriors. And as kingdom warriors, they can help to bring Christ, the solution to all the world's problems, to a world that desperately needs him. Again, the title of that article, The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. To get a copy, simply email us. That my email again is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We are very blessed and honored to have as our phone guest today, Bishop Scott Jones. He's a bishop in the Global Methodist Church denominational family. Bishop Jones, how are you today?
I'm joyful. I'm glad to be with you, Joseph.
All right. An honor to have you. And Bishop, we're coming up on a break right now. On the other side of the break, we want to open up with, I'm going to invite you to pray for our listeners and then tell our listeners about yourself and about who you are and the work God has called you to. We'll be right back.
You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. For greater things have yet to come, and greater
music from Passion, the song simply entitled God of This City. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Again, our phone guest today is Bishop Scott Jones. He's a bishop in the Global Methodist Church. Bishop Jones, great to have you. And would you take a few moments to introduce yourself, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself insofar as your how you came to know the Lord, His call on your life into the ministry, and then becoming a bishop as well?
I'm happy to do that. I am a bishop in the Global Methodist Church based in Dallas, Texas, but I supervise Global Methodist congregations on three different continents. I was called into the ministry back in 1969 when I saw the church really helping people. However, I wasn't really a strong believer at that time. And when I graduated from high school, I wandered away from the Lord. I was trying to find ways to make a difference in the world, but I was not attending church and I wasn't really a believer. Then in the spring of 1973, I got picked up by a truck driver. I was hitchhiking along Interstate 81 in northeastern Tennessee, and between Bristol and Knoxville, that truck driver shared his faith with me. I wish I could remember exactly what he said. What I do remember is climbing down out of the cab of that truck saying, "I want what that man has. I want that kind of faith and clarity about who God is and a relationship with the Lord." Well, it started me on a search, and it took me a number of years, but eventually I was born again. I then went to seminary and became an ordained United Methodist pastor. Mm-hmm. I was also getting a PhD degree. I'm a scholar who has studied John Wesley and the history of Methodism, and I taught courses at Southern Methodist University in Dallas. Then I became a professor of evangelism full-time, teaching there at SMU. In 2004, they elected me a bishop in the United Methodist Church and sent me to serve in Kansas. I was later given responsibility for the United Methodist Church in Nebraska. And in 2016, they transferred me to Houston, where I was supervising churches in the eastern part of Texas. So then in 2022, I retired from the United Methodist Church, and in 2023, joined the Global Methodist Church, where I've been a bishop now for 2 years. So that's my story. I'm a fourth-generation Methodist and United Methodist and now Global Methodist preacher, and I'm just joyful in serving the Lord and seeing what God is doing through the Wesleyan movement.
Well, would you take a moment now specifically to pray for listeners that they would receive and hear all the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast today?
I would be happy to do that. Let's all pray together. God, you are so great, so powerful. You are working in the lives of so many people all over the world. And I pray today for the people who are listening to this broadcast. God, we thank you that they've been motivated to open up their hearts and minds to hear what we're going to be talking about today. God, we know that your grace is at work in their lives, and we just pray for an openness of mind, for clarity of understanding, and for a willing heart when you impress upon them what it is they need to think or say or do. that, God, you will then give them a willing heart to follow through on that and do what it is you're calling them to do. God, you are a great and wonderful God, and your love is never ending. Thank you for the blessings you poured out on our listeners in the past. Thank you for bringing them to this on-air community today. And God, we just ask that you would continue to guide and bless them, that whatever they do and wherever they live, that indeed your love might flow through them, that your love might be shed abroad in their hearts, and they might grow in their faith, their hope, and their love, and their ability to serve you well. God, watch over them and guide them in Jesus' name. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Bishop Jones, you used the term Global Methodist Church, and some listeners might be thinking, what is the Global Methodist Church? Can you share with our listeners what the Global Methodist Church is about?
I'd be happy to do that. I need to give you just sort of a brief history and background to say that the Methodist movement began in England in the 1700s under John and Charles Wesley. It was translated and planted here in the United States and became a separate denomination in 1784. It's been through a number of splits and mergers, but the largest part of the Wesleyan movement was called the United Methodist Church. In 2016, the United Methodist Church began moving in a progressive direction and away from what many of us believe to be biblical teachings about human sexuality. Basically, there were people being elected who were self-avowed and practicing lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered persons. And in response, a number of us who were on the conservative side of the United Methodist Church said, we really need to form a new denomination. And so on May 1st of 2022, the Global Methodist Church was formed as a separate entity. And like many other Methodist bodies, they have bishops. And so when I was available, they brought me in as an active bishop in the Global Methodist Church. We now have 36 conferences on four continents. And we are planting churches. We have about 5,000 congregations in many, many countries. And all of them are under the supervision of a bishop. And I'm just one of the 8 bishops in the Global Methodist Church.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that. Again, I would guess there were some people who know about the background there and some who may not as well. But would you say, Bishop Jones, from your perspective as a leader in the body of Christ, period, what, from your perspective, would you say are some of the biggest challenges that the church worldwide are facing? What are the biggest concerns that the church really needs to be focusing and honing in on?
Well, it's a little different in each country. But in Europe and North America, I think it's fair to say that traditional nominal Christianity has been declining, and instead there's a growing movement of people who are sold out for Jesus and deeply committed. So it's kind of mixed news. On the one hand, the statistics about church attendance, about the size of denominations, show a lot of bad news of decline. You know, there used to be a time, say 60 years ago, when people were going to belong to a church because it was the socially acceptable thing to do. Well, those people are falling away. Instead, we're raising up a generation of people who are much more disciplined and much more focused on what being Christian and being a disciple really is all about. And so part of what is the challenge is recognizing that people who have been Christian in name only now have to be evangelized. There are people who think you can belong to a church and never worship the Lord on Sundays. People who believe that they can be a Christian and never open their Bibles. Your opening discussion about how to raise a family, Joseph, was very powerful. We need to disciple our children, which means not simply taking them to church, but getting them to read their Bibles, to pray, to understand what God is doing in their lives, and to be sold out 100% committed followers of Jesus. That's a huge challenge here. Now, there are other countries around the world, particularly in Africa, where the church is growing. The excitement is palpable. You find lots of people who are excited to hear the word of the Lord. And we are doing church planting in countries that are, well, mostly following other religions. And so while in America and Europe, there's a decline of nominal Christianity, now in Africa and other countries, some places in South America, we're finding people who are getting excited about Jesus and are following him strongly. So you see a lot of growth in the church in those countries.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate you just sharing just those perspectives about obviously our own nation and our culture, but also other areas where you've had a chance to observe or serve the church as well. I really was blessed and encouraged as you shared your testimony of how God used a truck driver to help point you to Christ and to help you to make a firm commitment to Jesus Christ in your life. And, you know, on the one hand, for some people may think, well, that must have been a radical truck driver. In reality, that should be the norm for the church, that everywhere we go, our words, our witness, our life for Christ should shine brightly and should be the biggest calling card, if you will, of our lives. But would you elaborate on why that's so important that we live a life like that truck driver?
Well, it says in 1 Peter that every Christian should always be prepared to give an account for the hope that is in us, and yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Well, I believe that every Christian is called to be an evangelist, that everybody has the opportunity to invite somebody to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Those invitations happen in a variety of different ways. It could be simply inviting somebody to go to church, or it could be somebody saying, this is why I go to church. Being able to talk about Jesus with everybody you know, your friends, your relatives, your associates, your neighbors, and yet you've got to do it, as 1 Peter says, with gentleness and reverence. I don't believe in beating people over the head with a Bible and saying, if you don't join my church, you're going to hell. What I do believe is saying, I have found incredible meaning and purpose in my life by following Jesus, and I want to give you that opportunity as well. Evangelism is, as one theologian said, is one beggar telling another beggar where he's found food. And so if you've got a sense of purpose and meaning in your life, if you've experienced salvation, you ought to be willing to say, hey, this is what has worked in my life. Why don't you try it as well? I think every Christian has got to do that. Too many times, and this gets back to your first question, Pastor Joseph, American Christianity has become a consumer activity where you go to this church and you watch professional musicians or a paid pastor perform the faith. No, the body of Christ is all of the believers, and all believers need to take responsibility for sharing their faith with other people, so that instead of having just one pastor and a congregation, one pastor who does the work of evangelism, every member of the church ought to find ways of sharing their faith with non-believers they come into contact with. I wish I could find that truck driver. I would love to give a testimony and help him know how much of a difference he made in my life. Mm-hmm. But I've lost track of him, of course. I don't know his name. But if you're the truck driver who picked me up in that spring of 1973, thank you so much, and God bless you for the incredible impact you had on one young man's life.
Mm-hmm. You know, Bishop Jones, what comes to my mind is when you and he meet in heaven, the Lord Jesus is going to be sure that you all make a connection. So,
I hope so. Thank you, Joseph. That's a great idea.
but you know, a part of the beauty, Bishop Jones, of the body of Christ is that as we live as disciples and as we make disciples, Again, we're simply vessels the Holy Spirit uses to get his work done. And something that's so encouraging to me is the Holy Spirit knows what to do all the time. He just needs available vessels. And
Amen.
Each of us is, we're called to be available vessels who listen and obey. Would you pray for believers to grow in their understanding of the need to be evangelism and discipleship minded as a lifestyle?
I'd be happy to. Almighty God, I lift up before you every person who's within the sound of my voice. God, we thank you for the blessings you poured out upon them. But all of us, Lord, ought to be looking for ways in which your Holy Spirit can be an even more strong influence in our lives. And God, we know that you're calling every believer to be a witness to your resurrection, to your salvation, to your power, to your ability to save people's souls. And so, God, I pray for each person listening that they might find the strength, the courage, and the wisdom. Give them words to say. Help them know how to give a testimony for the hope that is in them, that they can do it with gentleness and reverence, just like your word says. God, we know that that's a scary thing to do, and that sometimes we receive negative feedback when we talk to people about Jesus. Help us, Lord, to withstand such attacks of the evil one. Help us to persevere even through difficult times so that we can be bold in proclaiming the hope that is in us and the one who is at work in us. So that we're not...
You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Do it all you can do. With one word, the mountains move. When you breathe, the dead arise, and the bones come back to life. There is power in this room, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's life. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Like a river running wild, like a never-ending fire, where the Spirit. It's your name that tears down walls, and every enemy will fall. So we will stand and we will fight, that every wrong would be made right. There is power in this room. Oh, I believe, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's life.
Life Church with Where the Spirit of the Lord Is. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Bishop Scott Jones. He's a bishop in the Global Methodist Church. And Bishop Jones, in this last segment, I wanted to share this too specifically. You know, I have the privilege of hosting this broadcast, the Hour of Intercession, here on American Family Radio. I don't know if you ever possibly had the opportunity to meet Reverend Don Wildman. He was, of course, the founder of the American Family Association. But to me, he stands as both a tremendous example of a servant of the Lord who listened to God. He was led of the Lord to step away from the pastoral ministry and start this ministry, which is about the work of evangelism, discipleship, and salt and light in our culture and our world. And today it's a ministry that God is using to touch America and the world in some pretty big ways. Did you happen to ever meet Dr. Don Wildman in his lifetime?
I listened to him in ways over the media, but I never met him in person. And
okay.
So I have huge respect for him and his ministry of strengthening American families.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, you know, again, I think he stands as a good role model for so many of us in that, because very simply, I think it's helpful for us to understand the Christian life is largely, once a person comes to be saved, it's about listening to God and just doing what he says. listening to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and listening to where we come to discern our specific calling, and by faith and by His grace to walk it out as well. And again, He stands as a good role model. But this, I believe every believer is called basically to do the same thing. We listen to the Lord. Would you take time specifically to share thoughts about the need for the church to help strengthen marriages and the family? And then would you pray for marriage and the Christian family in our culture?
I think there's a crisis in the family life in America that's been part of our struggle for the last 50 or 60 years. There are too many divorces, too many people living together without benefit of marriage, too many people engaging in various forms of sexual immorality. The internet has made this an even worse situation because of the opportunities people have for sin. And therefore, the ability to help people be faithful to God and live a holy life really requires a strong community of faith. I think churches need to be working to help husbands and wives love each other. I think they ought to be faithful witnesses that, you know, faithfulness in marriage between one man and one woman is the way God intended things to be. And then to help raise children with the love of a good father and a good mother. But frankly, when I was a kid, there were people in my church who helped be an influence on me that was powerful. And so there really is a sense of raising your children in a church community is the right way to do that, to withstand some of the negative influences that our culture is throwing at us. And so I'm deeply concerned that every church, but especially the ones I'm related to in the Global Methodist Church, have a strong ministry of working with children and youth that brings mature Christians to be positive influences. We also know that in marriage, it's not always easy. We want to have communities of people. So in the Global Methodist Church, we're strongly encouraging every Christian to belong to a small group. I'll tell you that last night, Mary Lou and I met our small group. It's a group of five couples that pray together, that meet together and hold each other accountable, talking about how God has been an influence in our lives in the past week. So we meet with them every week, and that's one of the hallmarks of the Global Methodist Church, is these intentional discipleship groups that we think every Christian ought to belong to.
Well, would you pray for Christian marriages and pray for the Christian family in our culture today?
Absolutely. God, we thank you for the institution of marriage, that you created us as male and female for life together with each other. God, we thank you for the ways in which you brought people together into Christian marriages. But for all those who are married, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would remind them of the vows and promises they made when they first got married. Help men to love each other as Christ loved the church. Help women to love their husbands well. Help both fathers and mothers to raise their children to be godly, mature adults. God, we thank you for the ways in which you're working in so many places. We pray for each church. We know that the church is a vehicle for your grace, but God, we ask that leaders in local churches would pay attention to marriages, that they would understand the threats and difficulties that the society is throwing at marriage today, and give people an understanding of how they can be good Christian men and women and be committed to each other in that way. God, we pray for families that indeed parents might raise their children well and children might obey their parents in the Lord. Lord, watch over all of these people and help them to do their work well. Teach them how to trust and then how to obey. All this we ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bishop Jones. Bishop Jones, our nation saw the swearing-in of a new president and a new administration as of yesterday, and so much is going on in our world as well as in our nation. We've seen so much happen in the last few years as well. God clearly calls us in the Word of God to pray for our leaders and for those in authority. Would you pray for the president, his administration, pray for our nation, and pray for our government across the board as well?
I'm happy to do that, and I agree with you completely. We are called to pray for those in authority over us, and so I do that every day, and I will continue. Let's pray out loud right now. God, we thank you for those who have been called to be leaders of our nation. We pray for President Trump, Vice President Vance, all the members of Congress, and all the people who are involved in our administration. Lord, we pray for them to have wisdom, that they would be focused on helping our country to be as faithful and as holy as possible. We pray that they would pursue justice and preserve freedom. God, we thank you for the freedoms we have as Americans and ask that your leadership might be felt by all those who are entrusted with responsibility as governors of our states, as members of state legislatures and leaders in our cities. God, help all of us to be faithful and follow your will for the United States of America. All this we ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, I too thank you for our nation. Thank you, Father, for the president, the vice president, each member of Congress. Thank you for our Supreme Court. Thank you for the governors of our states. And thank you for our state legislatures. Thank you for leaders in local communities. And Father, we lift up the leaders in the body of Christ as well. Thank you for bishops and pastors and elders and others who provide leadership in the body of Christ. We lift all these, our leaders, up to you, Father. Touch them, Father. Flood them with your spirit, mercy, and grace. Lord, touch all of them. For any and all of them, help them to repent of wrong they've done against you. Help them to seek your forgiveness. Help them to come to fully commit their hearts and their lives to you, and help them to govern and lead for your glory in the building of your kingdom. Thank you for us as the church. Thank you for us as a nation. Help us, Lord, this day to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Bishop Jones, our time is just about gone. Thank you again for taking the time to be with us. Would you just take a moment now to pray for the nation of Israel before we end our time?
I'd be happy to do that. God, we thank you for the people who are followers of Abraham, all the people who are called to be a part of the nation of Israel. Watch over them, guide them, and pray that, Lord, peace indeed might come to the Holy Land, that indeed your people who are called by your name might be able to be used by you to spread the good news. God, we thank you for all the ways in which you work through the people of Israel and help them to continue to be as faithful and fruitful as possible. All this we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop Jones, for being with us today. We appreciate your presence, your wisdom, and your grace. Thanks for being with us, all right?
Oh, it's my joy, and I appreciate this opportunity to pray in so many different ways and talk about how the Global Methodist Church can be a part of what God's doing to save his world.
All right. Thank you so much. Let me say once again to all of our listeners, again, we continue to be involved with the Preborn Campaign, American Family Radio, working with Preborn, and we're encouraging you to get involved to help provide free ultrasounds for women who are considering aborting their children. Again, keep in mind, your gift of $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, giving the mom the chance to choose life for her baby. $140 provides five free ultrasound sessions, reaching five women with the message of life. Keep in mind, our goal is to help provide at least 4,500 free ultrasounds. We're getting close to the goal. Help us to get past the finish line, if you would. Once again, the number to call, if you'd like to call in, to make a pledge of any amount to help us, 1-877-616-2396. Again, that's 1-877-616-2396. Or you can go online to donate at afr.net. Again, that's afr.net. Please prayerfully consider calling in to make a pledge of any amount. And also pray for the Lord to help us to reach the goal. And also, let me just say to every single listener, find out where your local pregnancy clinic is. That's very, very important then. Find out where they are. Pray daily for your local pregnancy ministry, as well as learn about other ministries that stand boldly for life. They need your prayers. They need your support. We hope that you will do just that. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never made the eternally important decision of inviting Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a wonderful day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, simply pray this prayer with us even now and give your life to Him? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and I've done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to live your word daily. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. We do want to share with you and get to you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong. Please do get in touch. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. We definitely want to make that connection. Again, joseph@afr.net. Please email us so we can get that to you. Thanks again for listening. As always, it's a privilege to have you as a part of our listening family. Remember, if you're not reading 3 chapters in your Bible, today is a great day to start that very, very productive habit. And it's a habit that will bless your socks off. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.